Alert 2, Alert 3. So bumababa na po yan. So I hope yung iba po sa inyo as they come in ay tapos na po maglinis ng mga bahay. I'm sure na medyo napagod po tayo. And I heard that even some of you still don't have electricity. I think yesterday, na-cut off yata ulit yung electricity. So let's just trust the Lord na everything will be fine. Now, I thank God for the recently concluded IDC, or we call it Intentional Disciple Making Conference. It was held at CCF Ortigas. The guest speakers were Bruce Wilkinson, Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, Ravi Zacarias, and Edmund Chan. And our pastors here in GCF New Valley were able to attend that conference. Now, what struck me the most was the challenge given by Dr. Bruce Wilkinson. It's a challenge to really get out of my comfort zone, because there are times that I decide what I will do for him depending on what I can do for him, depending on my limitations, without me knowing that it's not about me. It's not about what I can do for him. So I must ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do for you? Because you are so powerful that you can work in me and through me. It's not about my limitations, but it's about how powerful my God is. So that really struck me. For example, the building project. If it is just me, I can't raise fund. I don't know how to raise fund, 30 million, 40 million, but it's a God thing. So it's a challenge given by the Lord for GCF New Valley. And now I am really challenged to take our city, to really conquer the city for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only our city, not only New Valley, but also Silang. You always hear in this pulpit that we must evangelize. But the problem is, are we doing the task of world evangelization? Remember, Jesus is coming soon. That's the given truth. Jesus is coming very soon, therefore the task He has given is world evangelization. And how are we going to do it? Intentional disciple making. So I must really be intentional in really sharing the faith. Now I learned that in order for me to really take that step of faith, to get out of my comfort zone when it comes to doing evangelization, especially in our city and Silang, I must really hear the very heartbeat of God when it comes to the lost souls. Because if I don't have that burden in my heart, if I will not really pray for my city, New Valley and Silang, if I will not hear the very heartbeat of God of what He wants for this city, I think I will just be contented with what we have right now here. But the thing is, I believe that God has really compassion for people, especially in our city. Remember, it's world evangelization to make disciples of all nations. So where we are is why we are. So we are here to evangelize our city, New Valley, Silang, and Laguna. That's the first step. And then the world. So that is what I am doing right now. I'm just really praying, and I want to hear the heartbeat of God for the lost soul, so that I myself will really look at people with compassion, that I must see that they really need God. They really need God, that I really need to convey to them, to bring to them the message of hope, our Lord Jesus Christ. So I must discern the will of God. I must discern what is in His heart regarding the city and Silang. Now, what about you? What about you? When we talk about life, we have some shares of fear when making decisions, or the decisions that we have made. For some of you, I know you have some concerns with your health. Maybe you need to make a big decision regarding to the findings of your doctor. For some of you, you will need to make a big decision regarding your career. Perhaps even right now, you are in a dilemma regarding your family. You are at your crossroad of your life wherein you need to make a big decision. You need to get out of your comfort zone. So today, you need guidance from the Lord. You need to make that big decision in your life, you need to really get wisdom from the Lord. You want to get out of this dilemma in your crossroad. And the challenge to get out of your comfort zone, the first thing that we must do is to consecrate ourselves before the Lord. Because consecration precedes commitment. When I say commitment, it means before you commit yourself to doing something, you must consecrate yourself first. Now, I want us to understand this. Look at this. Dare not. GCF Nuvali dare not to make any move, to make any decision, if you do not hear from the Lord, if you're not yet consecrating yourself from the Lord, if you do not know, if you cannot hear, if you cannot see the will of God, of course, through His Word, then do not take the step. Wait upon the Lord. So dare not to make any decision, to make any move. What you need to do is to consecrate yourself first to the Lord. And we will study this based on Joshua chapters 3 and 4. For our scripture reading, we will read Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. May I invite all of you to please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. So open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And let's read this together. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim. They came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Father, I pray that may we be able to see through your word that this is your will for us, that we must first consecrate ourselves before you so that, Lord, we can experience your power at work in us and through us. That even before we can see your wonders, your mighty works, your mighty deeds in our lives, the prerequisite is that we must consecrate ourselves before you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Let's just have a review. We are on the book of Joshua. We are studying the book of Joshua. In the first sermon, we were exhorted by the scripture to be strong and courageous. As to why are we going to be strong and courageous? Because his promise is this: "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Therefore, God's powerful presence is with us. Now, in the second sermon, we were reminded that the Lord our God, He is our living God. And because He is our living God, here's the thing. No matter where you have been, no matter what you have done, God is, God can, and God will give you a fresh start. And today, in this sermon, we will learn the importance of consecrating ourselves before God. If we want to see the power of God, do you want to see the power of God in your life? Parang kakaunti lang ah. Ayaw ba natin nun? Do you want to see the power of God at work in you and through you? Amen. If we want that, then we must consecrate ourselves before the Lord. And that word consecrate in the original language, actually if you look at it in the Hebrew, it's just one word in the Hebrew. It just means consecrate. But the verb is in reflexive. That is why it was translated consecrate yourselves. Now, what is the significance of that? It means it's you who will do that. Your seatmate cannot do it for you. Your husband, your wife, your children cannot do it for you. Your friends cannot do it for you. It's you. It's imperative. It's a command. Consecrate yourself. So it's you. It's me. I cannot do it for you. I cannot do it for GCF Nuvali. I must do it for myself, and you must do it. Church, do you get it? When it says the commander, consecrate yourself. It's you. And during that time, the Old Testament, the way they consecrate these people, there were some rituals, ceremonial washings and the offering of animals. It's them who is doing it. They wash themselves. It's a ceremonial washing. And you can read those things in the book of Leviticus. That is how they prepare themselves. That is how they consecrate themselves. And again, look at the command of Joshua here. Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow you will see the wonders of God. So before they can see the wonders of God, before they can see the power of God, before the Lord can give them victory upon victory, what is the premise? Consecrate yourselves. So before the Lord can do wonders in our life, before we can see the power of God at work in us, we must consecrate ourselves before Him. And the good news is this. We praise God that we no longer need to do some rituals as a symbol of consecrating, because it's all been done by the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews is clear. Or the author of Hebrews said, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls, goats, to take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, He said, 'Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me.' And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. For by a single offering, He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." That word sanctified, that's the same word in the Old Testament for the word consecration. Sanctified means set apart. Consecration means you set apart. So in our context, to consecrate means to come clean before the Lord on the merit of what Christ had done on the cross. We must ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, to reveal if there is any, if there are any sins that is still lingering in our hearts, so that we must get rid of it, all of our sins. That's what consecration means. Today is the day of cleansing. So let us draw near before the Lord. Let's humble ourselves before Him, confess our sins to Him, consecrate ourselves to Him by turning away from sin and turning to God. Remember that before God can do wonders in your life, the principle is this: you must consecrate yourself before Him. We must come clean before Him. Ask for forgiveness, because He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness. So, beloved, consecration comes first before commitment, before taking actions. Consecration. Today, we divide our passage, chapters 3 and 4, by dialogue, because it is a narrative. Now, let's look at verses 1 to 5. Here's the dialogue between the leaders and the people. Look at what the officers, the people, said to them in verse 3. "As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, being carried by the Levitical priest, then you shall set out from your place and follow it." Now, the word ark, or ark of the covenant of the Lord, it appeared 17 times, chapters 3 and 4. Just chapters 3 and 4, it appeared 17 times. So, how about that for emphasis? Now, what is the covenant, or the ark of the covenant is all about? The ark of the covenant, it was the home for the Decalogue. Decalogue is the Ten Commandments. Not only the Ten Commandments, but the whole book of the law. They placed the book of Moses, Genesis to Deuteronomy, inside the Ark of the Covenant. And it must be carried only by the Levitical priests. And if you want to learn more about the Ark of the Covenant, it first appeared in Exodus chapter 25. So you can read about the Ark of the Covenant in Exodus chapter 25. And the scholars, they have so many things to say about the Ark of the Covenant. But here's what is important about the Ark of the Covenant. It's the representation of God's presence. So meaning, it's the presence of God that will lead the way to the Israelites, context of the Israelites. And look at what it says in verse 4. You shall have a distance between you and the Ark of the Covenant, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it. Why? What is the purpose? In order that you may know the way you shall go, for, here's the emphasis there, for you have not passed this way before. Meaning they are not familiar in that territory where they are. So they need guidance from the Lord. So they will go to an unfamiliar territory, and God will lead them to a place, God led them to this place where they have never been before. But take note, it was the Ark of the Covenant that will lead the way. Meaning it's God's presence who will lead the way for the Israelites. Now, this is what the Word Biblical Commentary said about this. It says that Israel is entering a foreign territory. She must have a guide. Israel must have a guide. And that is the Ark of the Covenant, because that represents the presence of God. Now, our text thus gives two emphases to the Ark. It shows God's people, God's way into the promised land, but it also represents the holy presence from which the people must keep their distance. Here's the thing, church. When God gives you an assignment, He might ask you to get out of your comfort zone. You need to get out of your comfort zone, but rest assured that He will be our guide. He will guide us every step of the way, provided that we must consecrate ourselves first. Dr. Bruce Wilkinson, this is what he said. Miracles happen when you're out past your comfort zone. Remember, the Israelites, they were in an unfamiliar territory. So the same is true in life. Sometimes we need to get out of our comfort zone, but sometimes we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. But look at what Bruce Wilkinson said. Miracles happen. We can experience the power of God when you're out past your comfort zone and you need the hand of God to intervene. And He intervenes for you. Meaning God can do wonders, and God will do wonders in your life. And He is more than willing for us. He wants us to experience His power at work in us and through us. But keep in mind the prerequisite. The prerequisite is to consecrate yourself before the Lord. Why? Because He is a holy God. His presence is holy. And this is what the Apostle Peter wrote when he said, "But as He, as God who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for because God is holy." And holy means set apart. The same word, for the same meaning for the word consecration. And in order for us to be holy in God's eyes, the first thing to do is that we must have a right relationship with Him. Because we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we were alienated from God, separated from God. The Bible calls it dead in sin. It means we were separated from Him, no relationship. But God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Jesus Christ did it all. Church, the gospel is all about what Christ had done. It is not about what we are doing. It's not about what we will do for Him. It's all about what He has done. That is the gospel. The gospel is about the word done and not do. Okay, I want you to remember that. It's all about what Christ had done. That's why Jesus said, "It is finished." It is finished. So for you and I to have a right relationship with the Lord, we must put our trust, our belief, our faith, our confidence, not on ourselves, not on our good works, not on somebody else's good works, but only in Christ and Christ alone. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me," says the Lord. So it is only through faith in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in Jesus. Now, for us who already believe in Jesus, here's what I learned from this narrative, coming from also from my mentor, Pastor Lito Villorian. I would like to share this to you. He said, "God will never bring you to a place where His presence is not already there." Or God will not ask you something to go, to take, to get out of your comfort zone where He is not there. He's already there. He's just waiting for us. So don't be afraid to get out of your comfort zone when He's asking you to do something for Him. When you are in an unfamiliar territory, look upon the Lord. Church, He is our North Star. He is our constant guide. He is our constant in life, who is unchanging. He remains our constant. He is our North Star. When I was in Manila last week to meet a friend and Pastor Eric, I was having a hard time to navigate where I will go because my phone acted up on that day. So meaning, I don't have Waze. How many of you uses Waze? Kaunti lang, mabuti pa kayo, di ba? Hindi ako makaalis ng bahay nang walang Waze. Because it serves as my guide. Without Waze, I'm lost. Hindi ko talaga kaya without Waze. Sabi ko nga sa asawa ko, parang hirap naman ang walang Waze. How can I minister? Because, for example, wedding. So wedding place, kailangan nandun ako. Kailangan makarating ako ng maaga. Eh pag walang Waze, nahihirapan ako sa daan. So parang kailangan ko ng guide. So Waze serves as my guide. And here's the good news. When it comes to life's journey, God will never abandon you. Because that is His promise. Joshua chapter 1, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He is your guide. He is your true north. Hindi po masisira yan. Unlike Waze, pwedeng masira. But God, He will never, ever abandon you. He will lead the way. But you need to have a clear signal in order for you to hear Him, in order for you to see where He is leading you. Because that will be the problem. If you don't have a clear signal, so tayo yung may problema, hindi si Lord. That is why consecration is very, very important. So that we can have a clear signal. So we can always hear Him as we read His word. So we can always see where He is going. So we can follow Him. Church, are you with me with this? We must have a clear signal from the Lord. So always remember that consecration precedes commitment. So therefore, you must always consult God through His word. Remember, dare not to make any move if you are not yet consecrating yourself, if you are not consulting God through His word. So you must seek Him through His word. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and affirm it through the word of God. I always hear this, that you must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's true. But keep in mind that you must confirm it through the word of God. Always consult the word of God. That is what it means to consecrate oneself. So aside from coming clean before the Lord on the merit of what Christ had done, we must always, always consult God through His word. Before you take action, before you make big decisions in your life. Now, if we want to experience God's power in our life, again, we must consecrate ourselves. Look at what He said. That's the reason there. He said, "For tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." You can experience the power of God in your life if you will consecrate yourself to Him. Again, you must be holy because God is holy. Here's another thing that I learned from my mentor, and I am passing it on to you. He said, "Lack of physical and spiritual preparation results in failure to perceive and see the presence of God and work of God." We cannot see. We cannot perceive what He wants us to do. But on the other hand, spiritual preparation always precedes a significant encounter with God. Now, one of the things also that I learned from Bruce Wilkinson during the IDC when he shared about the three chairs, because he has also this book, Spiritual Breakthrough, about the three chairs. And the good thing is that he linked it with Joshua. It's very timely because we're studying Joshua. So just imagine this, that I have three chairs here. Chair one, chair two, chair three. Okay, and then he said, chair one, it's about Joshua. And the people that's following Joshua. And they did not only see the power of God, they experienced the power of God. Yes, because we will see that. We will see the story. They have seen they have experienced the power of God. Now, in Joshua chapter 24, there was the elders who outlived Joshua. They are the second generation. They saw the power of God. Now, there's the third chair that represents the third generation. And the third generation, you will be able to read that in the first chapter the first two chapters of the book of Judges. It says there, they do not know God. So what happened? There's no problem with the first chair. I think the problem is with the second chair, because these are the children of those who are in the second chair. And it made me think, Lord, where am I? Am I like Joshua, that I really experience your power so that the next generation can see, can know who you are and what you have done? It really made me think, made me realize that in order for my son and for my daughter, for Kyla and Toby, for them to really know God, they must sense, they must see, they must perceive, they must see the power of God at work in me and through me. But the prerequisite of all these things is that they must see how I'm really cultivating my inner life. Because that's the prerequisite, consecration. For God to work in me and through me so that the next generation can see that, I must cultivate my inner life. I must always hear you and really challenge myself. If you ask me to do this, even if it is outside of my comfort zone, yes, Lord, I will do that. Because only then I will experience the power of God, and then the next generation will see, totoo nga yung sinasabi ni Daddy, totoo yung pinipreach niyang Diyos. Totoo yung sinasabi niya, because we see how God is working in him. So we will also put our faith in God. I must cultivate my inner life. I must grow deep in my prayer life. I must be rooted in God's word. I must become obedient to what God wants me to do. Again, even if it means getting out of my comfort zone. Because then and only then, God will powerfully work in me and through me. What about you? What about you, my dear brothers and sisters? Do you want to experience the power of God? It's not only that you see the power of God in other people's life, but you want to experience it. Sometimes we are fond of reading biographies, diba? Charles Spurgeon, George Mueller. How come they all experience the power of God? George Mueller, he has an orphanage, he has no money, and yet every day there's a provision. He always experienced, Lord, I want that kind of experience. But you're not consecrating yourself. You're not getting out of your comfort zone. How are you going to experience God? You only see the power of God, but you do not experience the power of God. There's a big difference between the two. And what I want is for us, GCF New Valley, to really experience the power of God. For example, remember that when we became Christians, we are not just Christians on Sundays. Right? Do you agree with me with that? You're not only Christian during Sundays. Ganun ba tayo? Pag Sunday lang, Christian. You are also a Christian Monday to Saturday, not only on Sundays. Let's just take this for an example. Speaking of Sunday, the Sunday worship experience. Here's the thing. Lack of consecration, lack of spiritual preparation will definitely lead to a negative Sunday experience. Right? If we stay up late Saturday, take note, you are here, you want to experience God's power, but if you stay up late, whatever you're doing, you're just watching television, or whatever you're doing, you're not preparing yourself. You're not consecrating yourself, you're not preparing, you're not praying, you're not reading His Word. How can you have a fresh encounter with the Lord? But conversely, if you are preparing yourself Saturday, you are really praying, Lord, I really want to experience you. I want to worship with my brothers and sisters. We will worship you, and I want to experience you. Let me tell you, you will have a fresh encounter with the Lord. And we're just talking about Sundays. It should be every day. We must always long for the power of God every day. So we must always consecrate ourselves. Remember, consecration precedes commitment. In verse 6 of Joshua chapter 3, Joshua talked to the priests regarding leading the way as they carried the Ark of the Covenant. And in verses 7 to 8, God affirmed Joshua. This is what God said to Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant. When you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan." So God affirmed Joshua by promising his presence. And when they come at the brink of the Jordan River, the command is just to stand still. Okay? Now in verses 9 to 13, Joshua told the people what they are about to witness. They will see the power of God. And indeed, they saw, they experienced the power of God when God cut off the water in the Jordan River. Remember, God already did that to Moses, the Red Sea. Now, he is now repeating that action with Joshua. So they saw and they experienced the power of God. And it served as a reminder for all these people, hey, God did this. We're able to walk on the dry ground. So definitely, he will fulfill his promise for us that we will really conquer the promised land. They will be victorious in their battle. In verses 14 to 17, we can read what God said, and it came to pass. They witnessed how the Lord cut off the water from the Jordan River. And we can see how powerful God is. Look at verse 17. Now the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground. It's a river. Start to imagine it's a river. And yet they stood on a dry ground in the midst, sa gitna, in the midst of Jordan. And all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan. So they did not only saw, but they experienced the power of God. God is powerful. Giuseppe Nuvali, God is powerful. So when making a big decision in your life, when God is asking you to get out of your comfort zone, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Because He is powerful. He is powerful. Yung pong sinasamba ni Joshua at ni Moses na Diyos, yun din po yung sinasamba nating Diyos. Do you believe that? O iba yung Diyos, iba ba yung Diyos nila Moses at ni Joshua at iba yung Diyos nyo? We have the same God. God is powerful. Ask for His guidance. Ask for His guidance. Consecrate yourself and definitely you will experience the power of God in your life. Now moving on to the narrative, after they crossed Jordan River, you will see commands after commands. In chapter 4, God commanded them to take 12 stones. Okay? To take 12 stones to serve as a memorial. That is the reason, the first command after crossing the Jordan River, take 12 stones because it will serve as a memorial of what God has done for them. So in our life also, we must have some memorial. We need to have memorial or remembrance of how good God is, how faithful God is in our life. Kat Tolentino, I don't know if you know her. She is a volleyball player in a UAAP. One of the key players, actually, of Ateneo Lady Eagles. And Kat Tolentino had three, okay, like, no, not one, but three ACL injuries during her first collegiate career in volleyball. During her first year, three ACL injuries. Yet she was able to power her way through career-threatening injuries and help the Lady Eagles to conquer the UUP Championship last year, 2019. And in her interview, this is what she said. Listen to or read what she said. I am just thankful to God for making not just the journey hard, but it was something that was memorable. Remember, like a memorial, like the 12 stones for Israel. That was memorable because without those ACL injuries, I wouldn't have had as much passion. And I think I wouldn't be here. Those injuries made me the player I am today. And I'm also thankful for him for keeping me healthy this season. It was last year. So, church, in our setbacks in life, in our disappointments in life, we have that. Hindi natin maiwasan yan. In our setbacks, those trials, those disappointments, it can become a blessing from the Lord. Those setbacks, it can become blessings and it serves as a memorial of how good God is. To give you an example, just last November, you know that my son, Toby, got hospitalized because of appendicitis. Even though it's not good in our eyes, I was in Iloilo at that time. Lord, why is this happening? That's my question. But when we just pray and then we saw the power of God, ando po ngayon, naglalaro na, di ba? Malakas na si Toby and how he provided everything for us. That situation served as a memorial of how good, how powerful, how faithful God is in our life. And the same is true for you. So those setbacks, it can become a blessing and it serves as a memorial of how faithful and how powerful God is. Now, what is the purpose of all these things, of the manifestation of God's power? In Joshua chapter 4, verse 24, he said, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God. The word fear there, it means to honor or to worship him, to revere him. So church, worship is more than singing songs. Part of what we are doing here, everything that we do on Sundays, it's our worship, including our giving, singing songs, everything, the prayer, it's our worship. But I just like us to understand when we say worship, it's not just about singing songs. Kasi kung ganun, paano naman yung hindi marunong kumanta? Paano naman ako? Diba? E di parang, Lord, hindi ako nakakapag-worship sa'yo. Diba? Hindi naman tayo lahat marunong kumanta or nakakakanta ng nasa tono. Kaya natin kumanta, pero yung problema lang kung nasa tono. I want us to understand that giving reverence to God is not just about singing songs. It's more than singing songs. It's part of giving worship to Him. But it's more than that. It's our life. Obedience to Him. Obedience to Him. And aside from that, what we will observe in chapter 4, we cannot just read the whole verses there. You will see there command after command. First, stand still, chapter 3. Now, take 12 stones, and another command after command. So what can we learn from that? God gave instructions as need arises. He will not give everything at one sitting. Lord, what do you want me to do? And here's the plan. No, God will give instructions as need arises. God did not give full instructions to them at once. So the same is true for us. Why? Because it's a test of faith. Do we trust Him? When He is asking us to do something, when you are getting out of your comfort zone, after consecrating yourself, now Lord, I know what you want me to do, even though it's beyond my ability. Yes, Lord, I will take that step of faith. Then He will give another instruction. Then another instruction. Another instruction. There is dailiness here. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross daily. Dailiness. It's our walk with Jesus. Because we want to experience Him every day. Kasi kung ibibigay niya lahat, di ba, baka tapusin na natin, ito pala eh, gawa ka ng plano mo sa'yo. And the good thing is, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. So we are dependent on Him. We are just simply trusting Him, waiting upon the Lord, waiting for His instructions. We want to listen intently to Him as to what He will give. What is the instruction, the next step, Lord? What's the next step? Because He wants to commune with us. He wants us to fully trust Him. So church, when you are planning to do something big in your life, when you are about to make decision, perhaps right now you are about to make a decision in your life, a big decision in your life, consecrate yourself before the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Listen to Him through His words. Search His will in the Scripture. Again, do not take matters into your own hands, but search the Scripture, seek His guidance, follow His lead. Remember, God's presence will lead us. So follow His lead before you take action. I'm not saying that we will not take action, but before you take action, you must follow His lead. You must discern His will. Consecration precedes commitment. It's very, very important that we discern the will of God before we take action. Now, God did an amazing thing for the Israelites. His presence gave them courage and confidence to conquer the promised land. He gave them specific instructions along the way. However, victory was assured only when they consecrate themselves. Because, again, Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So that's the first thing. They must consecrate. Then tomorrow they will see the power of God. And God can do the same for all of us today. When you are in an unfamiliar territory of your life, recognize that God's presence is with you. Remember, Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Remember who He is and what He has done. He is powerful. Let Christ lead you rather than navigate life on your own. So right now, I want you to think of that one big decision that you need to make. I don't know that, but of course, you know it. What is that one big decision that you need to make? Maybe a project that you need to pursue. Even a major purchase. Perhaps you are right now here and you are thinking maybe you will buy a house or you will make an investment. Before you make that big decision, before you take action, here's what I want us to do. Okay? First, let Christ lead you rather than navigate life on your own. This is what consecration means. Let Christ lead you rather than navigate life on your own. And do not, church, do not dare to take that first step. Do not make any decision without consulting God. Without consecrating yourself, without consulting God, without discerning His will. Before you make that big decision in your life, consult God. Consult God. And thirdly, come clean before the Lord, and He will surely direct your steps towards victory. Now I want us to apply, especially the third one, coming clean before the Lord. Can we just pause for a while? And I want to give you an opportunity to come clean before the Lord, to consecrate yourself before the Lord. Because the Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any sins, any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So I want you to come clean before the Lord. Everybody close your eyes, bow down your heads, talk to God. Come clean before Him. Because we need to have a clear signal from the Lord so we can hear Him, we can sense where He is leading us. So let's get rid of anything that might hinder that clear signal from the Lord.
Lord, we just want to echo to you the prayer of David. And this is our prayer also. This is my prayer also. And this is the prayer of the congregation of GCF Nuvali. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth, in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May I call on our ushers for our giving.